Pastor Jeremy and Sister Julie and the family down at Needmore. I think Brother Matthew is going to be headed back to school. I don't know if from that point or if he'll be back home and then drive back. But so pray for him as he travels today. I think he's helping them work on some Spanish material, I think, down there. So pray for him. Let's see, any other prayer requests? Good to have Sister Kay with us this morning. Okay. All right. Dad, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? Amen. Amen. Well, let's start out in 2 Timothy chapter 1 this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And verse 7. 2 Timothy 1, 7. And let's see. Is that going to be too much for all that, Brother Joe? Sorry, there was a new program edition downloaded. So okay, yeah, sorry about that. There was a glitch in our scripture program, and so there was another addition to, well, actually, I don't know if you know it, but there's the daily Bible reading on the church's website or the Liberty Gospel tracts, and so I was reading a scripture, so it's in video and audio, and on one of the verses, there was a glitch in it, and it added the word children and two on the end of a verse. And in the scripture program, there's no way to delete it because it's all programmed. And so what I had to do is go back and download the previous version, which had it right. And so then I contacted the man. He's in Romania, the man who came up with that scripture program that we use. So anyway, in the process, I had to download the old version, and then I don't know if I re-uploaded the new version or not, but anyway, so we lost some of our settings in there. So sorry about that, Brother Joe. I just thought about that right now. So 2 Timothy 1, 7, we'll get it up here, but in your Bible, we can go over it here, 2 Timothy 1, 7. And let's go through this verse a few times here. So I'll say the reference, and then if we can say it together in the reference. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. So let's do it again. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love, and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. Let's do it again. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. So I'd like to talk about a sound mind or a right mind. You know, yesterday when we were out at the park, it was kind of raining a little bit there. I guess maybe it was kind of the whole time, but I was thankful when I got home, it was really downpouring, so the Lord protected us from that. But so not a lot of people had their windows down yesterday. Some people did, but I was noticing one car that stopped, and they'd rolled all their windows down. And it was kind of a little older car, and there was a young woman driving the car, and then there was a young man in the other front seat, the passenger front seat. And then in the back seat, there was a young lady that just had the most forlorn look on her face. And isn't that really just like the world? There's emptiness. There's no peace. There's no hope. And I just said to the group yesterday, I said, you know, it would have been worth it to come out if that was the only person we had reached, because she was looking, she was reading the scripture signs. And you know what? That young woman really needed that. She needs that. And the two in the front were more, I think, like laughing. I don't know if they were really mocking us, but I suppose trying to make us think they were really having a good time. The lady driving it had like bright red dyed hair, something like that. And the guy was drinking something, and they had their music boom booming, you know, there. But that young lady in that back seat, she needs the Lord. And so just pray that God would work in hearts. But let's go then to Luke chapter 8. Who is in the right mind? You know, some of them people like these in Luke chapter 8. Some of the world thinks we're the ones that are crazy. They think we are the ones out of our minds. Have you noticed how much marijuana is being advertised now? It's like billboards all over, everywhere. I was down in Grand Rapids, and there's a billboard advertising the best weed. That was one of the terms they used to describe marijuana back in the hippies' day, you know, smoke weed. And it's just all over everywhere. I see billboards that say no medical card needed. But isn't that the way sin always does go? You know, at first it was, well, we'll legalize it for medicinal purposes. Yeah, people just want to be in a stupor to forget all of their woes in this life. But Luke 8:26. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had what? Devils. Long time. And wear what? No clothes. Neither abode in any house, but where? In the tombs. Now, does that sound like a man in his right mind? He has devils, demons. He doesn't wear any clothes. He doesn't have a house. He stays in the graveyard. And it makes me think of downtown. You know, they enacted some ordinances really tailored to just try to stop us. I downloaded it. Any of you want to see the forms, why I say that, I've got the copy of the forms with me. But I mean, they even go so far as to talk about signage and, you know, our scripture signs were down there. And so it's really sad, but, you know, you think about it. Okay, so we're down there, we're singing hymns, we're preaching the gospel, the word of God. And we have people coming up to the police station using the 911 box and calling the police on us as if we are out of our minds. And it makes me think of this situation here. So, you know, if we had been down there and we were a rock and roll group and we were dressed very immodestly and we were gyrating with our bodies, all crazy type of things, and singing songs about killing police officers, you know what? I don't think one person would have called 911 on us. Who's in their right minds and who isn't? Well, in verse 28, when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, most high? I beseech thee, torment me not." Do you realize in that moment, this demon-possessed man put forth more truth than all the religious scribes and Pharisees? because they did not accept that Jesus was the Son of God. They said that was blasphemy. And he called him the Most High. And they said that would be blasphemy too. And he's acknowledging, I beseech thee, torment me not. He knows what's coming, and the demons inside of him know. Verse 29, for he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes it had, what? Caught him. The lost people don't understand that. You know what? We'll look at some other scripture here about that, but they are caught in Satan's grasp. It had caught him, and he was what? Kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, what is thy name? And he said, Legion, because what? Many devils were entered into him. So more than one demon can possess a person. Verse 31, and they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. There are some demons that are confined right now in hell. They're confined. They're not free to roam like the demons we normally talk about. They are bound right now. Some of them that sinned in the days of Sodom. Verse 32, and there was there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them. Have you ever stopped to think about that? Demons are always desiring to indwell a body, whether it's a person or an animal in this case, to indwell a body. Isn't it interesting? Because in Scripture, we see that angels often have appeared in bodily form to mankind. But what about demons? They're desiring to have a bodily form. They're desiring to inhabit. Why were they so intent on going into the pigs if they were kicked out of this man's body? Interesting thought. The Bible talks about wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Verse 33, then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. Even the animals went crazy. Verse 34, when they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed. And then what was he doing? Sitting at the feet of Jesus. Well, what had he done before? Well, if you go back to verse 27, it said that certain man which had devils long time and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house but in the tombs. This man was just on the run. Verse 29, the last half of it. And he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. You talk about someone, they would have had this guy on Ritalin today. You know, this guy has, what is it, HDD or I don't know what the letters are, but in other words, attention deficit syndrome. Oh boy, this guy's got it. We gotta drug him up. But now they find him, verse 35, sitting at the feet of Jesus, and then what? Clothed. This guy has clothes on. Verse 27, previously he didn't wear any clothes. So he's sitting at the feet of Jesus. I wonder if anyone had ever seen this guy sit down and be still before and listen. Probably not. So he's sitting at the feet of Jesus. He's clothed and in what? His right mind. And this is what really gets me. And they were what? Afraid. So the people of that area in the gatherings here, they were afraid. Isn't that strange? Wouldn't you think they would have been saying at that point, praise God, this wild, crazy man finally has some clothes on. When we go by the cemetery, no longer will we have to tell the children, now look away, you know, the crazy man with no clothes on is, you know, there in the cemetery. Wouldn't you thought they would have been happy? Wouldn't you thought they see this guy clothed and in his right mind, sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to Jesus teach him the word of God? Wouldn't you have thought that they would have been happy? Wow, I would sure think so. But the Bible says here they were afraid. This reminds me so much of the people of Greenville are no different than this. No different. They think they're in their right minds because they get high on drugs, alcohol, living immoral lives, driving around in their cars with music at a decibel level. I don't know what it would be, just busting their eardrums out. But they think we are crazy. They saw this guy in his right mind and they were afraid. They also, which saw it, told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. Verse 37, and the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them. Can you imagine that? That someone came to Greenville and there was a demon-possessed person that ran around Greenville with no clothes on, that the police would try to handcuff, and he would break the handcuff chains, break the handcuffs off from him. He lived in the cemeteries, always bothering people. Can you imagine someone like that being healed of God and then the people of Greenville asking Jesus to leave? Well, that's exactly what this did. And I mean, really, that's what the city has done to us, is saying as a church, not just asking you to leave that park, but demanding that, you know, that you not hold those services there. Are they out of their minds? Yes, they are. You know, we're there with a life-changing power of the gospel. Think of how much easier it would be on the police officers in town if they didn't have to deal with all these drug addicts, all these troublemakers. But it's like they created an edict trying to demand us to leave. How sad. Who's in their right mind and who's out of their minds? So they were afraid, verse 35, verse 36. Verse 37, and the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them. For they were taken with what?
Great fear.
Now stop and think about that. They're taken with great fear because the perfect and pure Son of God is in town. And he has just transformed a man's life. He's cast the demons out of this man. This man is in his right mind. He's clothed. He's modest. And they're afraid. It says they were taken with great fear. They were taken with great fear. Who's in their right mind? And who's out of their mind? Why would you be afraid that someone's life was just transformed? I can only think of one reason. Because the people of this city, their lives were in bondage to Satan. Why would anyone be afraid of God and his transforming power? Only one reason. Because they love their sin. Because they're in it. They're in it too. You know, if a drug enforcement team comes into Greenville and starts arresting the people selling drugs, is that going to put us in great fear? No, we're going to rejoice. But the people that are using drugs, they're going to have great fear. Amazing. They asked him to leave. They were taken in with great fear. And he went up into a ship and returned back again. Verse 38, now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, Return to thine own house, and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way, and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. You know, that's one thing. You may say, well, I don't know how to preach a message, and I don't know this or that. But you know what? If we're saved, we all have a testimony, don't we? We all have a testimony saying, you know what? Jesus saved me. Am I perfect? No, I'm far from it. But praise God, he's given me a new life where I don't have to serve the devil any longer. So praise the Lord. So what a situation here. And let's, before we go to the next passage, let's go back to 2 Timothy 1, 2 Timothy 1, 7. And let's go through this three more times. 2 Timothy 1, 7. So I'll say the reference, and then if we can say the verse again. 2 Timothy 1, 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1, 7. 2 Timothy 1, 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1, 7. 2 Timothy 1, 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1, 7. It's so good to have our sins forgiven, to be in our right minds. People are so deceived today. Well, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, not far away here, in verse 24. 2 Timothy 2, 24. So, you know, a lost sinner oftentimes thinks, no one tells me what to do. You know, I'm my own man or my own woman. I do my own thing. That's what they think. But 2 Timothy 2, 24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that what? Oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may what? Recover themselves out of the snare. And a snare is a trap. Out of the snare of who?
The devil.
The devil. Who are taken captive by him at what?
His will.
I was reading about a family in Australia, and this family had just moved to a house, a different house in Australia, and this dad heard his little boy, I would guess the picture, I'd guess him maybe like 8 years old, something like that, maybe a little younger, I don't know. He heard his boy let out a blood-curdling scream. And so he went around the house, and there was a python of like 15 feet long trying to, well, he was biting his son, but trying to swallow him. And so he ran over there, and he hit the python on the head, and the python released. But then the python just struck back at his son, and he ended up using a sledgehammer, and I don't know who got him the sledgehammer. It must be another family member. But he used a sledgehammer to kill that python. But it was like that thing just would not let go. And it wasn't trying to attack him. It would always immediately try to go after his son again. And what a horrible nightmare that would be. But here, the serpent, the snake, the devil, verse 26, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at what?
His will.
The dad just said he couldn't get over it, how that snake was just so intent on getting his son. And I'm sure it was a lot about size difference. But that's the way Satan is. People don't realize it. You know, it'd be horrible to experience what that family experienced. But if people could only see in the unseen realm, You know, you have a dad and a mom that don't know the Lord, and the scripture talks about considering children clean or unclean. There's no doubt about it in Matthew chapter 18 that God has, in fact, we can go there for a second, hold your place here, Matthew chapter 18. You know, God has his angels protecting little ones. Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. And let's see here. In verse 10. Matthew 18, 10. Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that where? In heaven. They're what? They're angels. You always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. We don't see the mighty unseen battle going on. But that's why it tells in a marriage situation, if a mom or a dad gets saved and their spouse is not yet saved, the Bible tells them, don't leave your spouse, else were your children unclean. But now are they holy. So if there is just one saved person in that home, God obviously has some special protection upon those children because of the wording of that verse. But just think, in an unsaved home, I can recall the situation where the dad was coming to Jesus, asking for his son to be healed. And Jesus is talking to him, well, if you had faith. And he says, Lord, help my unbelief. Well, so when a parent is coming to Jesus because their child has a devil, according to all these scriptures, putting them together, then that would mean that the parents are not saved. And so Jesus is dealing with them. Well, you say you're concerned with your children. Well, why don't you get saved? There would be protection on your children if you would get saved. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that if one of the parents is saved, then the children are saved. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying God obviously has some special protection on children in that situation as far as, well, what we just read in the book of Matthew 18:10. But so back in 2 Timothy 2:26, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. So you think of that horrible scene playing out in Australia, the dad fighting the snake. Well, just think about all the unsaved parents. They're refusing to repent of their sins and get saved. And they're sending their children out hither and yon. You know, can you get the picture? The snake of all snakes, verse 26, the devil. Those children can be taken captive by him at his will. You talk about a python swallowing a little child. Well, how many children has Satan swallowed through his lies, telling them, yeah, you can smoke your dope, you can drink your liquor, and you can be immoral, and you can live this way, and yeah, that's the freedom way. What has happened? Yeah, the snake just got him. He took him captive. And the problem is the folks can't see what's going on. It's like, I was just reading, there's some a company in Israel, I believe, has come out with some new material for soldiers to camouflage themselves and to be stealthy. So if they're just sitting at an outpost, and they showed a picture of, the only thing you could see was binoculars over it. You could not see the soldier hiding. And so they make different fabric, and I don't understand the reflections part of it. But it's like, you can't see where that soldier's sitting and hiding. All you can see is his equipment sticking over the top, the pair of binoculars. If we could only see in the unseen realm what the serpent is doing to people. And they just think, you know, they're having a grand time. This week, I do not know in what country it was, but maybe you read about it, but there was a scuba diver And he got swallowed by a whale. Did anyone read about that? Okay. Yeah. And he just didn't have to stay in there 3 days and three nights like Jonah. But he got out. He got free. But it's just like that. The world, they're swallowed up. The serpent has them. I think one of the most scary verses in the Bible, other than being cast into the lake of fire, is verse 26, 2 Timothy 2:26. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. You know, there's been a lot in the last 4 years that's been talked about child trafficking. These people who kidnap, steal children, and then traffic them around the world and make money off from them. And we just don't realize how Satan has done that with millions and millions, billions of people for years and years. So let's go back to 2 Timothy chapter 1 there again, which we're not far away. 2 Timothy 1. And let's go through verse 7 again. What do we need in our lives to be in the right mind? Because you know what? We were in Hobby Lobby, my wife and I. Was that this week? And so we're in there. We weren't in there too long, but we got out. And I said to my wife, I said, do you remember what song they were playing in there? And she had her mind on what she was looking for. But, you know, guys are just, their minds are kind of in neutral when they're in the store. But, and she couldn't recall. And I said, they were playing in there, Leaning on Jesus. And it was not a rock and roll version of it. It was just the good old hymn, Leaning on Jesus, softly playing in the store. And, wow. Why are people not in their right minds? Because they're listening to the devil's music. They're doing the devil's bidding. And they think they're free. They think they're free. My wife was looking at, because we've been being asked, you know, what cities are going to have parades this year? And I think it was Belding, wasn't it? It's going to be like an 80s rock and roll theme. And so that is their festivities. That's uncertain. I guess they didn't mention anything about a parade, did they, in Belding? So, but the festivities are going to be based on 80s. And so the theme is on their website is, you know, like rock it up, you know, the rock and roll of the 80s. Those people don't realize when they listen to that stuff, they are being taken captive by Satan at his will. They don't realize that. He's controlling their minds. So in closing, let's do 2 Timothy 1:7 again. We need to be in the Word of God. We need to let God control our minds. So let's do it three times again. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. But we need to be immersed in the Word of God, because when we're out in this world, our minds can just think, am I weird? Why are so many other people living this way or that way? You know, the sun comes out and the clothes come off, don't they? Who's in their right mind? Who's not? Last week, it was the first week we were able to get into Hathaway since the whole COVID thing. And one of the residents commented our ladies on the way they were dressed modestly. They looked like ladies. Isn't that something? So they could tell. They could tell. And so may God help us, because the world can try to intimidate us in areas like that. But God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, please help us, because people do try to intimidate us and make us think we're the crazy ones. Lord, help us to be in your word. You have not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Lord, help us not to be arrogant, but help us to have that humble confidence that we're doing your will and that you will bless. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord bless you. Next service start about 7, 8 minutes.